Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Dante S. Loretta. His new book is The Asteroid Hunter, A Scientist's Journey to the Dawn of Our Solar System. We're now in space. The asteroid Bennu is approaching perihelion, meaning that it's close to the sun. The perfectly built OSIRIS-REx spacecraft has approached it over a time period in which they count out at the Mike Drake building in Arizona. They count each day, 438, 437, 436. Well, it's just days left. And we're now accompanying Bennu. However, there are surprises. And one surprise is there's no beach. What beach, Professor? What were you looking for?
Yeah, we mentioned that we discovered the asteroid in 1999, and it comes close to the Earth every 6 years. So in 2005, when we selected it as our target, we performed an unprecedented telescopic astronomical campaign. And two key instruments that we used were the Arecibo Planetary Radar System, which was based in Puerto Rico, and the Spitzer Space Telescope, which is part of NASA's Great Observatories program. Both of those suggested the average size of particles on the surface of the asteroid was smaller than an inch or so. And we, when you have two pieces of information that give you the same conclusion, you start to build a lot of scientific confidence. And we thought that meant it was going to be gravelly or sandy on the surface and very easy to pick up particles. So when we talked about those reviews in front of NASA, I got up there and presented all the data, made this convincing case that the surface was beach-like. I told it to my team. I told it to the public. I must have said it 1,000 times before we got to the asteroid. And then we get there and we see this rough and rugged and rocky boulder-strewn surface, which looks quite daunting to send this beautifully crafted spacecraft down to collect a sample from.
Yes, it's spheroid, but it's not perfectly round. There are pictures of it in Dante's book, and you get an understanding that it looks like one great big gravel pile. That might be what it is, but it has gravity. What'd you say, 1/5 millionth of the Earth's gravity, something like that?
That's correct. About the same as the astronauts on the International Space Station experience.
However, if that means that this loose collection of rubble isn't anything you can land on, you have to tag it. So now we come to the invention of inventions. The engineering in your journey is spectacular. I've learned that at all space engineering. There is no such thing as, no, we can't do it. It's, we'll find a way. Okay, tell us what you want. Your engineer is magnificent. Let's go right to the end. What is laser tag, tag SAM? What is that referring to, Dante?
Right, so tag is an acronym for touch and go. As we discussed, the surface is rubbly and it's really fluid-like, and we learned that especially during the sample collection event itself. So we wanna fly down to the surface kind of like a scuba diver moving around a coral reef is a good way to think about how you can move around these objects. Just place our sample collection device called the TagSAM, which is the touch and go sample acquisition mechanism. It's basically like an air filter that we push onto the surface and then almost like a leaf blower action, just shoot gas into the gravel and push it into that filter. But the challenge is getting to a safe location. Because there's so many large boulders, there's very few flat patches that have those small particles like we planned on picking up. So we had originally used a laser system, which is like a laser pointer. You fire the laser, you can measure how long it takes to hit the asteroid and come back to your spacecraft. We know the speed of light, so you know how far away you are. And the laser was going to give us information as we were approaching the surface. Were we coming down at the right speed? And were we coming down at a relatively constant rate? And so it was there as a safety check for the final closure with the asteroid surface.
Yes, now there are concerns here in all directions, but I want to focus on one, which is, what is the surface made of? The science. We've spent a lot of time with engineering and with management, but the science is everything here. And Dante is an astrobiologist along with everything else as a chemist. So what science are you looking for that would help move the story of, did asteroids deliver water? Did asteroids deliver the spark of life? Does that mean there's spark of life everywhere? How does the chemistry work, Professor?
Yeah, the reason we chose our asteroid, which we ultimately named Bennu to get rid of that catalog number, make it a more of a destination, because it was so dark, that's what got our attention right away. It's one of the darkest objects in the solar system, reflecting a little over 4% of the sunlight that hits its surface. It's like a lump of coal. And we took that darkness to infer that it probably is loaded up in carbon. And carbon is the central element to all life on Earth. It's one of those elements that we thought would have been very rare when the Earth was forming in the inner solar system and would have had to have been delivered to our planet from outer reaches of our system. And so that got us excited right away. We had a couple of instruments that could measure the chemistry and minerals that are on the surface. They're called spectrometers, and they look at wavelengths of light, and there's certain areas where minerals will absorb light, and that gives you a little fingerprint for what's on the surface. Not only did we find the carbon, it looked like Bennu was loaded up in organic molecules and also carbon in minerals called carbonates, but we saw abundant signs of water. And that's really interesting because it's a small body. It has no atmosphere. Liquid water is not stable. Even ice is not stable. It would be more like a comet if that were the case. But this water is locked up in minerals called clays, which can hold the water in their structure and resist releasing it even at the high temperatures of the inner solar system.
I mentioned that it's a loose rubble pile. Well, that has been a concern for some months now because there they are going in. But the image I like, Dante, that you use is that Bennu pops like popcorn. What does that mean?
One of the big surprises, and there were many, I call Bennu the trickster because in this case, it was literally throwing curveballs at us. We went into orbit on New Year's Eve of 2018, rang in the new year in our tuxedos and everything by putting a spacecraft into orbit around this small asteroid. And less than 1 week later, we were just taking routine navigation images and we saw an explosion off the asteroid's surface. And it looked like this crazy dynamical event. And we thought, we're in trouble. This is hazards. We could damage the spacecraft. All of a sudden, you're in this emergency contingency mode, evaluating scenarios. What are you going to do? Do we need to leave orbit? Do we need to get away from the asteroid? And this is where microgravity really messed with our minds, because these were not very energetic events. It doesn't take a lot of energy to kick off rocks. We saw things the size of golf balls, the size of softballs, maybe even the size of basketballs leaping off the surface of this asteroid. And it turns out this is a very common phenomenon. Every day we saw at least one particle come off, sometimes a whole spray of them. They would bounce off the surface. They would go into orbit. Some of them would leave and become part of the interplanetary dust population. So it was a stunning discovery. It's what we call an active asteroid. It's shedding material, losing mass, kind of like very low-level cometary activity.
Dante now sets the team a challenge. Find me something to land on somewhere on the surface. And what begins weeks of Dante not sleeping because he's been staying up studying, he needs better and better photographs. Everybody does. First, the team takes the site team, and then he asks the public to help. They're looking for something to land where it has to be safe. You have to be able to deliver the sample collector to it. It has to be safe, and also it has to have some science to it. It has to be something you want to sample. And at this point, I figured there was going to be a crash and the book would end with a catastrophe. Except that I know that it was successful and it came back. That's the thing. I find that the anxiety here is very high. It comes through the pages. I can see day after day in the Drake Bill building. What are we going to do today? Worry. That's what we're going to do. But you come down. The Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four. Let's go to the Final Four. You name them for birds. Osprey, Nightingale, Sandpiper, and one more.
Kingfisher.
Thank you. Kingfisher. And everything has an advantage. I remember this debate. It was in the news every day. And my colleague and I were saying, well, Sandpiper looks pretty good. But then again, and how did you choose Dante?
Yeah, it was chaos early on. We didn't have a good series of quantitative metrics. We were kind of going with our gut. I think we had gotten a little complacent with the beach idea. We didn't think it was going to be that big of a challenge. The engineers had come up with an algorithm that could just feed into the shape model of the asteroid and it would kick out the safest place to go and get your sample. And that is not at all what it was. The surface is so rugged. It's hard to imagine. I talk about exploring it in virtual 3D. It's like being in an abandoned city with these skyscrapers everywhere, these giant boulders just tower everywhere. And we have to precision park the spacecraft. So the first thing we had to do was replace that laser tag with what we call bullseye tag. We had to upgrade the flight software to make the spacecraft smarter so that it could actively guide itself away from hazards and towards a safe area. And what did safe mean? It needed to be relatively flat. We were really worried about coming down on a slope and tipping the spacecraft over and crashing into the surface. This is what the first Hayabusa mission did. And we had watched that play out. We had watched our colleagues crash land on the surface of an asteroid and seen the failure real time. So we were very cognizant of the fact that you could lose the sample if you didn't get it right. So then we needed it not only to be flat, but we needed small particles, those gravelly particles that we talked about, to pick up. And Bennu didn't have areas that were both flat and had small particles. It was either one or the other. And so that was what we were really debating. How much risk could we take to get into the sampleable area? And if we wanted to be the most scientifically valuable, that would maybe even add a little more risk at the sake of increasing the scientific return of the program.
The choice is Nightingale. It's got a boulder, Mount Doom, I think. It's got risks. However, not to be unfair, the machinery, the engineering is magnificent. It does this automatically. It's like Tesla, a million miles away, backing in and pulling out a sample.
And 200 million miles away.
Thank you. Thank you, 200 million miles away. Well, the little Tesla robot that Lockheed built and the engineering adjustments with your team are magnificent. So is all of the camera preparation. And you wind up with a sample that's too much. You're pulling it as, he doesn't mean just trickster. He means like, you think you're confident. Here's this one. And this one is too much sample. You're leaking.
That's right. Yeah, the surface response was completely unexpected. So we thought we were going to touch down on a rock, something hard, like touching down on the ground on Earth or on the Moon or Mars. It wasn't like that at all. It really behaves very much like a fluid. So as soon as the sample collector, the TagSam, touched the surface of Bennu, it just continued to plow in. It was like jumping into a pool of water. And as a result, the sample head was filled all the way to the brim with material. And imagine you're trying to carry a bucket of water that's filled all the way to the top, and you're trying to carry it down a mountainside. Every little motion is going to cause slosh, and that's exactly what we were seeing. Sample was just flowing out of this collector. It was heartbreaking and terrifying. After years, at that point, we had been working 16 years to get to that sample. All of those challenges had been overcome. We got to the surface. We got material. We take our first look, and we're losing it into space.
However, the OSIRIS-REx craft is so sturdy and it's so reliable, it's going to return to Earth. And when we come back, there's more tricks coming. Just because you leave Bennu behind you doesn't mean that you're going to get everything smooth. Dante Loretta is the author, professor at the University of Arizona. The Asteroid Hunter is the book, A Scientist's Journey to the Dawn of Our Solar System. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.